Come on, Johnny, cheer up, son.
You cannot be serious.
Part one of You Can't Hear Me, Can't You? All I can see, you're a metre away from me, I can hear you. Hey? Have you got headphones?
That's better. That's it.
Yeah, oh, good. We're on the eve of the Australian Open, which is the big...
It started
no,
already.
No, it's already started, yeah. Johnny.
Well, I'm saying we're on the eve of a fortnight.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, give us the latest results from yesterday.
Ash Barty won last night.
Yeah.
Did you see that,
Djokovic
Michael?
Won. Yep.
Well, we're on the Federer. Eve of it because we're just talking about it for the first time.
Just concede sometimes that you get it wrong.
Like swath. Now, anyhow.
Or sloth.
So we are...
Are you in a better mood, John, before we go on?
Robo. Be quiet. We are in part one and part two. Wait till I tell you who the guest coming in for part two is. Mm-hmm. this person will be coming in and we'll be doing part two, but this person is not here yet. So I've got some... I just wanted to run this by you. This is some music that we might change.
Oh,
gee.
You would probably think Billy Thorpe sings this, but tell me who you think sings this. You might be interested, you might not be.
Somewhere but Over the Rainbow?
Eh? So, no, just tell me who you think sings
Poison
this and then
Ivy.
Sing along with it. No, close, have a listen.
You think I'm crazy? That's Billy Thorpe. Remember how he used to jump from side to side on Bandstand?
Someday when you're not so pretty, someday when your hair's gone grey,
he can't sing
someday
a note, can he?
Someday when you lose what you got now, you're someday you're
good.
Gonna want me.
You're a shocking
someday
singer.
Someday he's gonna
that'll
come.
Do. Thank you. That was his follow-up to Poison Ivy.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know who sings that? Shocked me as well. A bloke called, and I don't think it's the man we think it is, but a bloke called Tony Barber. Not the man who sang the did the whistling
you
thing.
You sure? Tony Barber was in the Aztecs with Billy Thorpe.
Oh, Donald.
Are you sure?
Well, look, it's got Someday by Tony Barber.
Yes. He might have written it.
He might have. Don, I thought that was Billy Thorpe myself.
Yeah, I think Tony Barber might have written that.
All right. Well, I'll get in touch with the Google machine and tell them they are wrong.
Well, you should have covered that. You're very, very good.
I don't. Bruce.
Someday when you're not so
Who actually told you that you could sing?
No one told me I could sing.
Didn't you cut a record?
Well, do you want me to play you a track?
No.
Thank you.
You listen to this. Bring up a topic to speak about. Could I tell you one thing? These are things that have staggered me over the week.
Mm-hmm.
They staggered me. Now, have a listen to this. The results of a protest are just in about the Sydney to Hobart yacht race in a, listen to this, in a Category 3 race, not the main race that where the big guns, but in the bottom categories. And one of the boats protested against the boat that they eventually beat because they said they were, listen to this, cut off at the start of the race. This is in Sydney Harbour. So when they went to tack, to get onto a course to go out of Sydney Harbour, the other yacht cut them off. So they got 3 days to make up that little... How could you get cut off at the start and protest that might have stopped you winning the race?
But how could it take 4 weeks to decide?
Oh, because they've gone backwards and forwards and examined footage. It's a bit like the bloke who tried to break the Melbourne to Hobart... Melbourne to Perth swim and back again. Melbourne to Perth and then...
A swim?
Yeah, and he nearly...
No, it's a swim from Melbourne to Perth.
And then back again, and he nearly broke the record, except they reckon he stuffed up the tumble turn at the Perth end. Isn't it...
Well, he kept going to Africa.
What if you keep going from Perth... What's
to
the
Africa.
Is it?
If you keep going from Perth...
Tumble turn to Africa, Madagascar.
Speaking of the microphone,
yeah, speaking
Don,
of the microphone, Don.
Don, if, here. Don.
Oh, Johnny.
If you keep going west from Perth, what is the first landmass you hit?
Madagascar?
Correct.
Is it?
Now, yeah, it is. So that's okay. The first thing. Could you believe that the protest has just come in and been dismissed, that they were cut off at the start? Secondly, a bloke has sued a website in America called Pornhub. This is a deaf man who has sued Pornhub. He said because the porno movies he's watching on Pornhub, they don't have subtitles on them. And he's deaf and he's sued them.
What you've got too much spare time.
Do you think... So my question is, if you are deaf and watching porno movies, what would you need the sound up for and what would they be saying?
Oh, a lot of things. Yes.
I'm coming. Oh,
easy.
They say? Oh, you've got a marvellous bunch there. Or look at your breasts. Oh, look at the size of those. Aren't they? They're peaches. What would you need subtitles for a porno movie for?
I've no idea.
Well, that's Mansoor.
Have you got any porn movies?
I beg your pardon? What'd you say?
You heard that.
No, I didn't.
Do you have any porn movies?
Do I have any?
Yeah.
That I've made myself?
I can't believe this.
You got the Andrew Purser one?
Yeah, I did. If you get your iPhone and put it on video and then turn it around, you know, so that you're filming yourself, you can do it yourself. If your arm's long enough to get outside how long your dick is, you're going to have long arms, Mick, and you'll have to have it on a very wide lens. Cause, have you ever been filmed in a sexual situation, Don?
No, I haven't, Johnny. No.
Have you ever filmed yourself in a sexual, you know, no, having no, a lens to yourself?
Been in any sexual situations of recent times?
Yeah, recent. This century.
No, I haven't, Michael, no. I'm just thinking about what aftermath there was of the chlamydia. No, there was nothing.
The koala's not all that well, apparently.
So that's the second thing that staggered me. And the third thing I just heard, this is coming in, this I just heard the fattest people in Victoria live in Melton.
Melton?
Melton.
Why?
They said this. They've done a survey. Why would you do a survey about that?
They
said the people with the biggest girth per capita of the population of any town or collection of people live in Melton.
They might go there because they think they'll melt.
There are a bunch of porkers out there. Why would you do a survey about that?
Well, because they're interested. The authorities should be aware of where the obesity centres are.
Why should they be aware?
To make the community a bit healthier.
Why do I say close down all the...
thing. They should do it themselves.
I know they should, Donald, but...
I think that if that's the case, they might be very lazy and just have takeaway food. They do not...
Talking to the microphone.
I am trying to as well as look at you.
You don't have to look at him, Don.
No.
You just have to speak. Look at the microphone, be a good start. And it would be.
I got a letter from Mount Gambier, too.
Oh, no. No. It's in the Trump category, though.
Why would you do a study on how fat people are in which suburb? They said
no. Let's be serious. Not know about the health profile of the community?
Of course.
Okay. So, isn't that what we're doing?
No, we're just saying generally, the world or the community is fat.
Yep.
And obese.
Correct.
And they have actually singled it down to Melton.
No, it's not the only place in the world that's got fat people.
They have singled it down as the fattest place in Victoria where the most number of fat and obese people are in Melton.
Yeah.
If you were a Melton resident, wouldn't you take umbrage at that?
Well, not so if it's true.
Well, they said it's true. They did a survey on it.
So wouldn't say whatever the Melton local government is, the shire or council or whatever, would they then not sort of say, well, look, we need to put some parks in or... blow up a few KFC shops or something?
They have plenty of parks, they might do that.
So this is like saying, have a news flash when it's raining, say, could motorists have been advised to slow down because it's inclement weather? How dumb do you have to get people before you tell them how to live their lives?
Talking about that, I drove with you yesterday in inclement weather.
Yes.
How were you with people who decided to pass us?
Yep.
You wanted them exterminated. You wanted to catch them and blow them up, didn't you?
Okay, Mick. So we're driving down they've got the section of where they're building the tunnel on the Westgate Freeway down to 80 kilometres an hour, and it is absolutely persistently raining. It is. You can't see out the
window. I was with you.
I'm telling the...
And I asked you to put your wipers on. You said no.
I'm telling the listener.
Did you put your wipers on?
I'm telling... Of course I put my wipers on.
Did you really?
When I couldn't see out the windscreen, I put the wipers on. I did. So is this true, Mick? So this Pantechnicon, this lorry taking a container, a 40-foot container, went past us in an 80 zone in teeming rain on the outside lane, because you said they're not allowed to drive in the outside lane. He went past us, I reckon, at about 110, didn't he?
Well, that's a bit extravagant.
Okay, well, 100, certainly. Mm-hmm. And I said, would it be all right if I said this, Mick? I said, have a look at that fuckwit, didn't I?
You did say that.
You don't think you should get annoyed at that?
No. But
truck drivers are the greatest menace on the roads of all time.
But annoyance, I've learned, it's no good getting annoyed on the road. You'd be annoyed every 20 metres.
I just said to you, have a look at that. Yeah. That is extraordinary.
Did you also say, I hope he jackknifes?
I said, you wait. No, I didn't say
that. You didn't say that.
I said, what will happen is...
He couldn't have a conversation with you. There's nothing...
No, I didn't
private.
Say... Private? Don.
Exactly. There's more to come, Donald.
Really? Yeah. What on the trip Don. To yeah. the Golf? What
when
else?
When you have a three-hour round trip Don. With someone...
Yeah, I know.
You discuss lots of things...
I didn't wish he had...
you be quiet, please, John? I'm just listening to Michael.
And you learn lots of things about people, which I did yesterday.
What else did you learn?
Well, we had an interesting discussion, didn't we?
I don't know what you're about to say.
You told me you had a headache because of all those questions I was asking.
That's right. I'm driving.
But your
along.
Conversation is questions, Michael. I've been out to dinner with you, and it's like a.
That's right. That was one of them. He said, "I'm driving along, minding my own business, trying to negotiate the traffic, and have truck drivers going past us at twice the speed limit." Which I didn't say. I hope he jackknifed. I said, "What'll happen is he'll brake behind that car because the car will see him coming up and." Well over the speed limit, and he'll brake and he'll jackknife. That's what'll happen.
That's exactly what you said.
I didn't say I hope he jackknifes.
No, I know that. I was just testing the water, that's all.
You were being hyperbolic.
Okay.
So we're driving along, Don. We're driving along. I'm trying to, put up with the traffic and...
Answer questions.
He said, Sammy, I said, yes, Mike. I don't know why he had to say Sammy, because we're the only two in the car. I don't know who he thought he was speaking to. He said... Sammy, I said, yes, Mike. who would you ask to dinner? What 10 friends would you ask to dinner? And I said, when are we having dinner? He said, no. He said, just hypothetically, what 10 people would you ask to dinner? And I thought, all right. So I tried to think, do I know 10 people I could ask to dinner? And I'm not sure if you were
in. Or 10 would accept.
No, well, I could get one. I could get two.
Yeah, so this is why I got a headache. So we're driving along a bit further. And he said, what was the other question?
Yeah, no, don't leave that yet. In fact, you embraced that question. And we
I'm a captive audience, Mick.
We talked about who they would be. And I guessed, I think, about 7 of them.
Yes.
Why don't we go through them?
Well,
and offend a few of those that have been left off.
Well, I said, you present company excluded.
Yes.
Because I don't want to say, I'd be asking you, Mike. You said, I'd ask you too, Sam.
Well, I picked Lyon and Brayshaw and Warne is 3.
Yeah.
Kevin King, number 1 at the
Was
at the
RoboCop
table.
In it?
No, because you said present company excluded. But not that he was there.
He wasn't
but,
in the car.
No, but like us.
Mick. You're cerebrally challenged. You've become mad.
No, it was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Did I have him in?
Who would you invite, Michael?
Well, I did that.
Okay.
I struggled. Go. I struggled to find 4.
I said this once on a. I was asked this once before. Well, on
give
the,
me your 4.
I was asked this once before on the radio.
John, I'm asking Michael a question.
I want to tell you this.
Yeah.
I was asked this once before. Now I want you to think about this, Donald. And I said, if I could ask theoretically some people who have been on this planet, who would you ask to dinner and why? And I said I'd ask Hitler.
That's right.
And the Jewish fraternity went berserk before I'd even finished the answer.
No, I'm with you on that.
I would ask, going berserk?
No. I agree with the principle of...
Yes. The principle is to sit opposite that man...
And ask him.
And say, what is going on in that brain of yours, mate? What are you on about? I'd be fascinated.
You also, on that same score, he wanted to have Elvis, which I share his view about how good Elvis was as the entertainer, but after he sang Suspicious Minds or something like that, what would you talk to Elvis about?
Oh, well, what would you talk to anyone about?
You just want to look at him, do you, across the dinner table?
Well, he went into the army. Colonel Tom Parker ripped him off. He married Anna Marie Presley. He made films. He was a recording studio artist. He was high on drugs most of his life. He was the best-looking boy in the world until he got hold of him, and he lived a life. The only way he could get out in the public was to go out at 4 a.m. in the morning and walk the streets incognito. He couldn't go out. His life was a nightmare. What else? What do you mean?
He'd be perfect.
What else? What do you mean? What could you ask him about? Who did he meet? Who did he like?
About the real 10? The 10 that you picked actual?
Yeah, but people don't know who they are listening to this.
Well, we do. I said there was Gary Lyon and James Brayshaw and Shane Warne.
You said Caroline Wilson, Kevin you'd King. Ask.
Yeah, I would ask her, because she's a friend of mine.
That's right. Of course. Why would you ask people you don't know?
True.
I tell you what. Don, are you
You're rehashing yesterday's train trip, bus trip.
Anyhow, this is why I got a headache.
I've got to thank you for the wrist support you gave me.
Oh, so we've moved last on to go to your wrist.
Well, I'm just thanking him. I'm an appreciate. This is not the one that you had when you had your little incident, is it? The Peter Yeo incident?
John, please, you're like a dog with a...
Well, it's made by Opal. Now, I don't think they're in existence anymore.
It's just gone off on a complete tangent.
The road trip?
No, we're not going
to. One of the things you said
gave me a headache is you asked question after question. Look at that land there. Would you like to own a property on that land?
No, I didn't say that. You know what you said, actually, and you did say, you said, now, Mick, that's another very interesting question. I need to think about that.
Because what do you think I'm going to say? Mate, don't speak shit to me. I'm driving.
Well, I asked you about what you'd like to do with the rest of your life, however short or long that'll be.
That's it. And I thought, I had to think I had to make up an answer. I thought,
No, you didn't. That's bullshit. You wanted to be Johnny Carson and have your late night show that you were hosting, didn't you? And that was serious. And you're not going to do a book?
Why not?
Don, these are private conversations I have in a car, and suddenly we're canvassing. What about the questions you asked about some of the people I'd met and who I'd been familiar with?
We met one of them yesterday.
Yes.
After the golf.
No, I wouldn't go on with that.
No, you wouldn't? She was a very nice woman.
And what was the question you asked me about her, which we won't be broadcasting here? No, seriously, that's what happens.
I just asked you your history with her, how long you'd known her.
Yes, that's right. And then you got on to more intimate details about her.
We're at Barwon Heads Golf Club.
Yes, thank you, Mick.
Yeah. How did you play yesterday, did you think?
Shocking.
Mm.
Lee.
Shockingly, yeah.
Yes.
How did I play?
And pardon?
How did I play?
Well.
Is that all? Just well?
No, you were fantastic,
Thank
Mike.
You, John.
It was just a pleasure to see a man swing a club like you did. And so
yes.
I get down to the golf course there at Barwon Heads, which is a public course, and a bloke springs out of the office and said, which I was just tucking my shirt in because I'd got out of the car. He said, Sam, could you tuck your shirt in, please? I said, as a matter of fact, I had my hands in just down in between my nether regions, pushing the actual shirt back into my pants. And I said, I'm doing it at the minute, mate. He said, oh, good, thanks, good on you. Well, seriously, could you spring out of an office and tell someone to tuck their shirt
in? And then you parked illegally, so you just sort of said, well, I'll show them something to get upset about.
So here's a report.
So you two are just rehashing yesterday's.
Yeah, no,
it is riveting
it's not.
Stuff.
It's boring.
Very riveting.
It's boring, Don.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
It is.
I'm telling you why I got a headache, because of these inane questions you asked me in 2 hours there and 2 hours back.
Can we do it again?
The podcast or the trip?
So, Don.
Yes, Johnny.
I see here.
Let's talk about your wristbandage, Don. That'll liven things up a bit.
There's added security at the Australian Open tennis tournament in case there's some hostile vehicle activity. That is, people getting in a car and trying to mow the crowd down. So they put extra, that's what that means.
The bollards.
The bollards. They put extra bollards in case there's hostile vehicle activity.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, if there is hostile vehicle activity, would the police be given open slather to shoot dead the driver on the spot? Or would they have to surround him and ask him to surrender and put him in the back of a wagon and take him to court and get some judicial people
You've made your point. I think given in the wake of the Gargoula situation, I think that they would be almost given the right to
walk up to shoot to the car window and shoot him dead in the head.
Every situation's a little bit different. The Gargoulis one, he advertised what he was going to do for quite a while.
Mm.
Every situation's different.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think vehicles would be able to get close to the tennis centre anyway.
Well, because they're putting bollards there. Because of the crowds, that's what gets them close. The people see the crowds and they drive the cars at them.
I understand, but the cars would be kept well away from that precinct, I should imagine. Why would you even go near it? But then again, if you've got a specific reason to go down there to do that, yes, you'd do it. I wouldn't go near the place.
What? Why would people drive cars at people going to the tennis?
Mm.
You serious?
Why would you drive a car?
Because you're a jihadist. Because you're a terrorist.
You'd catch the train if you're going to the tennis. You wouldn't drive.
Once you get out of the train, Donald, you've got to walk into the stadium. The train doesn't actually take you to your seat. And you get out and there you are on centre court. You've got to walk from the platform to the tennis centre. And there's thousands of people and people in cars drive. That's what happens. And
did you watch any of it?
The
tennis?
No.
No? No interest?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet. So shooting them dead on the spot? And ask questions later?
Well, they were embarrassed because they hadn't acted on what they knew in the Gargoula situation, were they not? Donald, is that right?
Mm.
Yeah. So wouldn't they be more inclined now?
I don't think. With the Gargoula thing, it was completely different. He antagonised and terrorised around doing wheelies or donuts in front of Flinders Street Station.
He did.
Well, that should have been brought to a halt there.
Don, if you had free license to go and shoot him on the spot when he started doing it, it wouldn't have gone on. But because in this day and age,
woke society,
and political correctness, and everyone's entitled to a defence and all that sort of stuff, people don't act on impulse because they're not allowed to. So I see. Tom Campbell, do you know who he is?
Tom Campbell.
He's the footballer.
The Bulldog bloke, is he?
I think he's a Bulldog bloke.
He said the ruckman.
He was interviewed. He said, we must stamp out homosexual taunts. Was it homosexual taunts? Homosexual taunts. You know, the bloke saying he was a faggot last week. Which is fine and very... fine that he says that, no problem with that. If that's, we did say gender or sex or sexuality and race are off limits, although Don said no, everything goes, until we said no, you can't say that, Don. He said no, well, all you can really should. So here's my question now, tell me if you think this is homophobic. Now this is a legitimate question. I'm watching a Netflix series and it starts off and then the male leaves the office and he goes home. He said, I'm going home to my partner, person I'm married to. I'm going home. And you think, oh, that's good. So he gets home and the person he's married to is a man, which is fine. And he kisses him, hello, and all that. And they sit down and have a wine and glass. And the next minute they get a bit amorous and they get into bed. At that stage, I actually turned it off because, now tell me if you think that's homophobic. I don't want to watch two men doing that.
That's not homophobic.
But you will be classed as, I don't want to watch that. Now, is that all right if I don't want to watch that? I don't care if they do it, but I just don't want to watch it.
Yes,
so I turned the series off and I won't watch it again.
Yeah.
But I don't like seeing animals get killed and I can turn that off. So what's the difference?
I'm saying
you're exercising your free choice about what you want to watch on the big screen.
Mick, what I'm trying to
say. So what are we talking about?
I tell you what I'm talking about, Don.
That's a ridiculous question, isn't it?
Is it? So I'm saying people would brand me as homophobic.
No, they wouldn't.
They would.
Why?
How do you know?
Because... Because they, I bet you they
You have
would.
Your choice to get up and walk out in a theatre. If you don't like that particular show, you walk out or go
I
to sleep.
I didn't like the fact that two men were the lead romantic roles.
I agree with you. So what do you want?
I just want to say, people would say, oh, well, you're...
No, I don't think they would.
Well, no. They would.
Well, I agree with you.
With who?
Yeah. I find it very uncomfortable.
Which bit?
Well, the two men getting into bed, kissing one another. I mean,
okay. So you would say, so people would say in this enlightened day and age, get over it, Don. You've got to live, got to move into the new world.
No, but you don't have to live in that world, though.
No,
no. If you went out on the streets and actively campaigned against it, then it's a different issue.
And there's more and more shows. That is creeping into more and more shows because people now who are advocates for this run the theatres and run the movie production houses and want to try
but you've got your choice.
That it is more common. And it is more common and it's quite all right to do it. And no worry about whether people take offence to it or
whether
don't
you want
to
watch it,
and
John,
it's
or
just
not.
Creeping in and they're just pushing the agenda onto you so that it makes you feel uncomfortable if you don't like that.
They're putting it up there and it is
your
choice.
Don't look at me like that. I see Qantas. Have you got any subject at all?
Well, I have got a couple, but it's very, very difficult to get them in when you start.
You're going to talk about Qantas and Alan Joyce, are you?
Well, you're
besotted by this issue.
Apropos to our conversation last week about the dog, Frank, who died in 39-degree heat, Qantas have now banned certain types of dogs, pug dogs.
Snub-nosed. That's what
they're...
Yeah.
Well, they're pugs, I think, Mick.
Well, there's a group of them.
Yeah. Pugs, I think.
Coming under the heading of snub-nosed.
Oh, I think they come
Why
under
the
heading...
Why were these dogs bred, do you know?
No idea, Donald. Sam and I aren't big on dogs.
I just finished the Qantas analogy first, Doug.
We're getting on to the breeding of the dogs, bulldogs. Yeah. I think they were used for bringing down bulls, weren't they?
That's your area, mate.
Hence the name, Don. Bulldogs.
Yeah, but there's boxers and there's...
Well, they're brought down to bring down boxes. Why have boxers got short tails? To let other boxers in the ring. Now, Don.
What is Don on?
So they've banned, Qantas have banned pug dogs from flying because Frank, who was a pug, died not in the plane but in a crate out on the tarmac in 39-degree heat. So Mr. Joyce... I'm not sure which one of them, but one of the Mr. Joyces has decided...
I knew you'd say that.
Well, has decided...
It's 21 to 1 on.
But pugs have got a breathing problem, so...
Would you ask Mr. Joyce... Now, here's a question.
Which Mr. Joyce?
That's my question. If you were at a dinner party and you had Gary Lyon and James and all the people, Caroline was... would you ask Mr... who's the head of a very big global...
We know who he is.
Global airline, Australian, Qantas. Would you ask Mr... Mr. Joyce, to dinner.
Why? I'm not a friend of his.
But he's a captain of... One of them's a captain
of...
One of the Mr. Joyces is a captain of industry. And we could ask him about how Qantas and how... He's a foreigner, isn't he? He's an
Irishman.
That's right, Irishman. He's an Irishman. How did he get out here to...
He flew.
How did he come to be head of Qantas? And where did he meet his husband? Where did he meet him?
You've got to...
Well, what's wrong with that, Mick? Where did you meet the last girl you went out with? I tell you where. You met her at the newsagent.
No, poor Baker Portsy.
You met her at the newsagent. You said, could I have the Herald Sun, please, and would you like to come out to a film with me? And she said, I beg your pardon.
How do you remember all that?
Well I've got a
That's
memory.
True.
I know it's true.
Yeah.
What do you mean, how do I remember it? Because my mind is still ticking over, Mick. It hasn't lapsed into senility yet. So that's how you met your partner, and Mr. Joyce met his. What?
It's just hardly my partner.
Well, she was for about a minute of your life until you tipped her over when you got back to your house.
Donald, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. But I don't think it'll rank with any of this trivia that you told me in private,
like the car conversation, Mick. I shouldn't bring that up. So I was interested to know where Mr. Joyce met his husband. And what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that?
You are homophobic. All your questions are laced with this issue of
well
sexuality.
Yeah, it intrigues me.
Mm.
It does. I'm not. It's like tattoos. They intrigue me.
Can we change?
I'm not knocking it.
Can we change? Thank you. Watched a documentary the other day on the Seekers.
Yeah,
they were.
Don't say they were a big group.
Very what?
Don't say they were a big group.
They were, but they were very, very good, and they had a song. We Are Australian.
I love that song.
Exactly, and I think it could be adopted or should be adopted.
No, Donald, we are as one.
And what I would like to see, Michael,
we are
at the grand final.
Yep.
If they were put on every seat
yep.
at the grand final. We'll
put on the big screen.
Oh, well, there you go. That yeah. saves a lot of printing. Yeah. And we all got up and sang that song.
I'm totally... And at my funeral, which could be anywhere between 10 minutes and 10 years, that's going to be the farewell song. I love that. When they play the extended version on Channel 2... Sorry, on the ABC, Sam...
Yeah, I only got you.
It's what is the bloke who we can't mention?
Rod Law.
Why are you grimacing about that? It's a brilliant anthem, isn't it?
It is. It really does appeal to me, and I think it really does sum up our society.
What's he saying?
Oh, I don't know. Don't worry about him. He hasn't got a microphone, so don't worry about him.
Are you all right over there, John?
He's Googling something. I'm
trying to find the song. But it's not on there.
We Are Australians.
It's not on there.
And I think it's very appropriate for Day.
Bruce Woodley wrote that, didn't he?
No. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Mm. Bruce Woodley wrote it. Yes, I was thinking of Keith Pocket. Bruce Woodley.
And it's going to become topical because Australia Day is coming up. And you know what's going to happen when Australia Day finally arrives?
Yeah.
They're going to go through the whole thing again. Why is
half
Australia...
Half the country say we shouldn't have it.
Yeah, and why? And the Indigenous people are going to say... incidentally,
and I think they've got a real case, Indigenous people.
They do, Donald. When do the Indigenous people want to celebrate Australia Day? I've just not been able to discern that.
Don't think they want...
They don't want to celebrate anything.
I don't
anything.
Think they want to celebrate Australia Day.
But I think we should have some means of celebration. Yes. But I can understand them. If you're in their position...
See, they're saying, why celebrate an event of 200-odd years when they've been here for 40,000 years?
Mm. Now, I want...
And we're really only getting on the bandwagon.
So they don't want to celebrate... the country that they inhabited first at all.
They call it Invasion Day, do they?
I know that, Mick, but so they don't have an alternative date to celebrate us all living together as Australians, black or white. They just don't want to acknowledge anything. Is that right?
I don't know.
It's not being provocative, that question. It's genuine.
Boys, we didn't have Australia Day when we were growing up, and I think they've done a bit of a take on American Independence Day.
Did we not have Australia Day when we were young?
Was not sure? celebrated the way it is now. It might have been Australia Day. Maybe we just gave it scant regard, and we just got on with life. But now they celebrate it, and I don't think you need to.
Don, I want you to, you can say it before I even say this, say that you're a smart ass, but I tell you what, mate, I'm leading the pack with what's going on in this community.
I agree with you.
I did say that Sisto would have
We know all that. Okay.
I did say that fireworks would not be...
be banned.
Yep.
And did you notice that there is no fireworks for the Australia Day celebration?
Yeah, weren't we all agreed on that? Weren't we all agreed on that?
Fireworks... up until this Australia Day.
Yeah, because of the bushfires.
No.
It was not because of that.
I don't believe it is.
Really?
The fireworks aren't going to start the bushfires.
No, but I think it's the symbolism of sort of celebrating fireworks when the whole country's getting burnt down.
I don't think that's
right. You don't
right.
think that's well, right? What about you, Donald?
I think it's the cost of the fireworks.
He's
never worried them before.
I know, but I think it may be starting to.
And the fact that it's almost an anachronism. Fireworks, and they're going to move to the new millennium and put lasers and put images on the buildings and make it more interesting.
Okay, so what we know all these, we've patted you on the back, so what else are you predicting?
What else am I predicting?
While he's thinking about that.
Yes, good.
Donald, you watched a bit of the tennis yesterday. The Greek player Tsitsipas, I think his surname is.
I didn't watch his game. I
has criticised the behaviour of actually his Greek fraternity about the lack of taste, as it were, yelling and chanting at the tennis all the time.
But they did.
Do you like the behaviour of the tennis?
I think as long as it can go on until they serve. But the Greeks got terrific support for, now I've forgotten his name, the other Greek that did very well.
Magdadis.
Yes. Yeah. Now they got behind him too and they were very vocal when he was doing well.
But even as an Australian, yes, though, I watched the Barty game last night and she played a woman from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
My memory when I was young was that we applauded the shots on merit, whether they were played by an Aussie or by the opposition. I know it's a big deal. She wouldn't care, the Ukrainian girl, but I thought it's pretty poor that we only acknowledge...
But even the commentators are saying about various tennis players getting the crowd on side. Now the crowd's behind them and they seem to get a bit of a roll on.
Just my opinion, but this is similar to Patrick Reed at the... President's Cup, people shouting out at him and making snide and sly comments about the fact that they thought he
different
cheated.
Reason though.
Well, but no, but
yes, it is. I mean, he was accused of being a cheat.
So give him the respect. He comes out here to play. He says he didn't do it purposely, and people said, "Well, it was obvious he did." So why just go on about it?
No, but that's different to the neutral girl, the girl from the Ukraine.
I agree, Mick. I agree. It's like
but they're not criticising
like
the girl
Aussies
from Ukraine,
at the cricket
Nick.
They're
behind.
What's they called?
The jingoism.
They paint their face yellow and green. And what are they called? They're called
The fanatics, aren't they?
Fanatics. Yeah. And what are the English people called that go around the
army?
Army. They are nothing more than they're
showing off, aren't they?
Preening exhibitionists trying to get their head on the television, thinking, "Oh, look at us, aren't we patriotic?" Yet, pain in the ass, all of you, shouting out at the tennis and just stopping a microsecond before someone serves. It is annoying and it's a pain in the ass, as something akin to Greta. She's a pain in the ass.
So back to climate change. Yeah, so we're all the way from the tennis centre to climate change.
It's people preening and being exhibitionists.
It adds a bit of colour to the tennis.
Bullshit.
As long as they can refrain.
The Greek guy was criticising his own people for the level of support and said it was over the top.
Oh, well.
They're just blokes showing off, getting on telly.
Now, I want to brace yourself for this. Bill Ferg at the Lobster Cave. We are running a competition, Don. We are running a competition.
We
are running it on behalf of the Lobster Cave, that people can now apply to come and have lunch or dinner with you, Don, Mick and me at the Lobster Cave. And in 150 words or less, you've got to say why you'd like to come and join us. And we are taking them to the Lobster Cave for six people. And this is what you can get at the Lobster Cave. You can get Bill's bugs. You can get
your headset.
Horse's duvers. You can get his groper and cods. You can get everything that Bill's ever caught in the ocean. And you apply. I can't tell you how you apply to be in the competition because I don't think the website's up and running yet, is it, Jack? Well, it might be up and running, but you apply to it by going to the website of... I can't even find it. Where is it? Smart as Sam Facebook. You type that in and there's a link into the Lobster Cave and you can register and six people can come along and have lunch or dinner with us three.
And we'll regale them with all our stories.
You can regale them again.
You can ask them questions, Michael. I'll sit and listen and John can entertain them.
And they can come and see if Don actually does look like RoboCop. And Bill said he'd come they're building a special contraption so Bill can stand erect now. Because his leg's gone, he's missing a leg, and his back has been put out. He got whiplashed by a large octopus who got one of his, what do you call those?
Limbs?
No, not cause.
Tentacles.
Yeah. As Jack said, his arms reach up like giant testicles.
Jack
whiplashed Bill's back and he's in traction. So he's coming in a machine that they're building
frame?
At the minute. No, it's more complicated than that. It's a motorised walking frame, Don. And he'll be in there to speak to people
about... What, is he balanced on the one leg?
Now, the frame makes him stand upright. It's an orthopedic device that's been developed especially for Bill.
How does he drive it?
When are we doing this, Sam?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. The competition ends on the 10th of March, mm-hmm. and you go to – give me that website again, Jack. It's my Facebook, Smart as Sam, yep. and you go to that, and there's a link that automatically goes to the Lobster Cave, and we're six people, and I'll tell you, it is a – piscatorial crustacean delight of food.
Piscatorial. Would that be pescatorial?
Piscatorial.
Would it?
I think it's piscatorial.
It might be PE.
Well,
might
you're
it?
Very good at it. So this is
what you get. This is what you will get. You will get wild seafood scallops, St. Helens oysters. Now, do you know St. Helen?
No, I don't.
She's got the best oysters. Austria caviar, lobster cocktail, salmon roe, crisp lobster wafer. It's extraordinary stuff, Don. And normally it sells for $269, but ahead. But if the six of you will get it for nothing, if you join the competition and say in 150 words or less why they'd like to be in our company. Now, can you do better than that?
No.
And Bill will be there. Bill will be there. Bill Ferg himself. Bill Ferganoitis. Do you know that's his name?
Is he Greek?
I reckon he's Greek, yeah. William Ferganoitis, and he's cut it down to Ferg. I mean, you couldn't say Ferganoitis Lobster Cave. It's Bill Ferg's Lobster Cave.
Piscatorial.
Is it? How do you spell it?
You're correct.
Piscatorial,
Okay. See how easy it is to concede?
Only because I was right.
Well, this time
you're right. What's the point of not conceding if you're wrong? So that's how you do it. So that's what's happening. And we've got a special guest coming in later.
Today?
Part two of this.
Is he going to turn up?
Well, why wouldn't he turn up?
Well, he was supposed to arrive a little earlier, but he didn't
Well, no
turn
one
up.
Knew that, Don, until you said that. That's something we discuss off air. And there's no point bringing
Donald.
That up because you've made out that he's slack now, that he hasn't turned up and he was late and he didn't remember
Don,
it.
What's happening in your life, Donald?
Yeah, come
well,
on.
I've got a bit of a problem. I was wondering whether you two could help me.
What is it? So long as it's not manual labour.
Johnny, you've got a fair complexion, but how do you get your legs so brown with shorts on? I'd like to wear shorts.
That's how you get them.
A problem, is it, for you?
Yeah, it is.
That's how you get them browned on, by wearing shorts in the summer.
But that you've got a fair complexion and your legs are brown. Are you using something to get them brown?
Oh, I see. That's the hidden
that's
question,
what I was
is it?
Just trying
Am
to
I
get
using
at?
A tanning...
Because I've been wearing shorts and the legs are still white.
You might be anemic.
Your legs are too skinny to get any sun.
The sun, it just flashes by, does it?
It does.
You're anemic, Don. And you've got a...
Have you seen his red shoes and red pants?
We're on TV too, Michael.
I declared them red. I could work out
what's
that
anemia mean, Don? When you're anemic, what have
well,
you...
Well, isn't there something lacking in the bloodstream?
Yes, what?
Iron.
Good boy, Donald.
No.
No, he's yeah.
It's iron.
It's an overabundance of white corpuscles, isn't it?
Because you lack iron.
Lack of red. Well, that's an overabundance of white.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, that's what anemia
is. It's because you lack iron.
Iron? No, it's red and white corpuscles is what makes up your body.
Jeez, I can't believe. I thought it was iron too, Michael.
Well iron might be red corpuscles, but that's what it is. Anemia is an overabundance of white corpuscles or a lack of red corpuscles. That's what anemia is, and you've got it, Don.
What have you got, Michael?
Anemia is a decrease in the total amount of red blood cells or hemoglobin in the blood or lowered ability of the blood to carry oxygen.
We've got to find iron.
When anemia comes on slowly, the symptoms are often vague. No one, Sam knows about this. And may include feeling tired, weakness, shortness of breath, blah, blah, blah.
So, Don, what did
Hang
I say?
Hang on, he hasn't finished. It's got to be something about iron, Michael.
Anemia must be seen before a person becomes noticeably pale.
Okay. What did I say anemia was?
Oh, no, you were right again because you're right about everything.
Now,
there's not one thing in your life that you've been wrong about.
Can I ask you this?
May I ask you this?
Or may I ask you this?
Yes.
Last week, you cited...
What are you going to say now?
Well, having a discussion with you. I'm not arguing with you. I'm giving you a different point of view.
Yep.
Last week, you said, do I disagree with the CSIRO about climate change because they are leading the pack on all this? And I said, well, the CSIRO tend to slant their position on climate change because they're a government authority and they get given funds and they'd be doing themselves out of a job if they actually say it's not really that important. So that's what I said.
And which I is said, an affront to the people in the CSIRO.
It would be, of course, but it doesn't mean to say that because it's
so they'll affront, come up with scientific explanations that suit the budget, will they?
In many instances, yes, I believe.
I can't believe someone semi-intelligent can say that.
Well, so I'm about,
this eminent scientific body.
I'm about to give you an example of why I said that. So the Garno Climate Change Report, are you familiar with it?
Yep.
It was on your favourite station, the ABC, and it was CSIRO endorsed. And this is what a finding said about the Garno Climate Change Report. It said there is a disagreement among climate models, and it said increased cyclone activity and long-lived heat wave periods cannot be directly attributed to climate change. So they are saying that just because the forest and Australia is on fire, that doesn't necessarily mean that can be attributed to climate change. There are a whole lot of different factors. And the main factor is that when it is devastated and burnt down 2,000 houses and it's been, there's a billion animals have been destroyed, the very fact that we are in an urban sprawl and build satellite cities out and out and out into where forest just used to be the main part of the land, but now there's housing estates and housing resorts. Of course, if a fire goes through those places, there's going to be devastation unheard of because of the urban sprawl. That's what they are saying. It cannot necessarily be attributed to heat wave conditions or cyclones.
Have you got any idea what he was talking about?
No, I really don't, but I just wish the authorities would look at control burning. Well, listen, John, you go on with this all the time, and there's a practical thing, and we're talking about the fires. If they just get back to control burning.
We're talking about population.
Well, I said to you weeks and weeks ago about limiting population.
I know.
And it didn't get much of a run, but that's how we controlled it.
I don't remember you saying. What did you say?
Yes, he did.
I mentioned it.
He said scant regard.
What, two kids per family?
At the most, and one.
At the most?
Yes.
Wow.
No, but immigration.
We've got a limit.
Immigration and the people that come into the country quite legally, they move out into the outer suburbs and they build satellite cities and they build houses and they build.
But that's only in Australia. Population worldwide.
I'm sorry. I was only talking about the bushfires in Australia. Yep, I'm sorry. Yep, I was. I wasn't talking about Uganda or the Seychelles Islands. I'm sure they have devastating fires, but I was just talking about where we lived on at this stage. And that's why there are devastating results of bushfires in Australia because of the urban spread and the population growth. Because it's more noticeable because houses get burnt down as opposed to there were no houses there 20 years ago.
Aren't the fires in forests?
Yes, and people are moving out into to green areas now where there are fire risks. And that's what they are saying. It can't necessarily be attributed to climate change. This is your report.
I agree wholeheartedly with that, but we've still got to get back to control burning and looking after the environment better than what we have been doing so far. What's wrong, Michael? Exasperated.
Yeah, I am.
Why?
Well, he takes an entrenched position on everything.
Yeah, well, we know that.
I was giving you a counter-example.
I had no idea what you were talking about there.
Well, mate, you've got to pay attention then. You couldn't understand what I was saying.
No.
The Garno report said that you cannot necessarily attribute the increased heat waves and cyclone activity to climate change.
Not necessarily attribute. So it could be responsible for 40% or 60% or 80%?
Not to the devastating effects that people like the CSIRO and those government bodies claim. They doctor, not the CSIRO necessarily,
yeah.
But who? They doctor the figures.
Who
some
do?
By these agencies that are relying on government funds to be to exist.
No, that's an extraordinary statement from
you. It's a fact. This is what the people who disagree with your position say. You say every scientist in the world agrees that climate change.
No,
and I say no.
I say the overwhelming majority.
And I'm saying the overwhelming. There's not the overwhelming majority at all. There might be 60% of them do, and 40% of them don't.
But you and I shouldn't discuss this because we're at polar opposites.
Mick, that show if two relatively intelligent people can't have a discussion about something where we all to throw the toys out of the cot, I'm giving you a counter argument to the thing that you keep pushing, and it's quite all right to have a discussion about it. That's how we get arrive at a consensus, isn't it? Don, of course, sits there like a mute and doesn't enter into it at all. He just says we got to have 2.5 kids each, do you? What did you say?
Well, I've told you what I say, and until they at least attempt control burning and looking after the population, I don't think we'll move forward. That's my opinion, taking everything into account.
Why don't you want people to have more than 2 kids?
Because we're putting too much stress on this world.
Well, why wouldn't we stop bringing people into the country then?
Yes. Well, those people are still coming from somewhere, aren't they?
But why? Well, if the issue is population...
Well, why the Australian government...
No, answer
government,
that question, please, Don.
John, do you mind? The reason the Australian government is allowing immigration is to
stimulate the economy.
Yes, yep. Internal economy. Yep. It's
so
false,
short-term
it's
again.
False economics.
Yep. Short-term. Wouldn't we be better producing our own people, like producing the people
jobs for
of
the people
traditional
here.
Australia, yeah, rather than just
importing low-wage labour?
Also don't want to work. That's number one. They're looking for the easy way out, and a lot of jobs cannot be filled. And you create jobs, and Australians will not, so-called Caucasian Australians, won't apply.
The bloke who says, whose name we can't mention, says that I'm racist with my comment.
Xenophobic.
Do you think I am?
Not at all, Mick. I wholeheartedly agree with you that we should look after the people in the country in the first place and see if we can get them a job rather than importing
people.
But
they
people.
Don't want to work, John.
Well, then
we've become a decadent society.
Okay, well, that's a political decision where you cut out the entitlements and benefits that we give these people, and you actually coerce them into working.
You get no argument from me.
Well, that's all right.
You
that's
get
good.
No argument from me until we can get this back on and get a better Sammy? Work ethic yes. in this country.
The nameless one says, "I want an Aryan race."
Aryan race.
I said it properly.
What is it?
Aryan race.
Aryan. Right.
You want an Aryan
race?
What,
says,
all white people? That doesn't necessarily mean there's a hell of a lot of...
where they come from.
Half the country at the moment was born overseas.
That's right. That
we all come from overseas, originally, our origins.
Oh, thank you, Donald.
Yes, thank you. No, but he's not saying you want to have a race of white people. There's a hell of a lot of mixed coloured people in this.
Don't raise your eyebrows
country.
At me, champ.
Just don't keep importing people from
Correct.
Overseas when we can't sustain them with the infrastructure.
Exactly beautifully right. articulated, Johnny.
Well, but that's nothing to do with an Aryan race. There's plenty of people that are brown and black and different. People that are born here, just before we keep importing people, just ad venorium or whatever that word is, ad valorium, what is it, ad nauseum?
Yeah, that's probably closer.
Just how about we see if we can look after and give services and benefits and entitlements to the people who are here and don't come over here looking for them.
You got one of those flags for him too?
No, I'm agreeing with Don about controlling birth.
Righto. Did you answer the question before about what's happening in your life?
You
still
working
with
Tony Jewell? No, you didn't ask me, but I'd like to know about your racehorse. We heard about it in the springtime, and I watched it down at Pakenham. David Hayes was training it, and he said it'd get up and win. That's going back months now.
It was Oaks Day.
That's exactly
it's,
right.
It's What's back happened? In work?
It's back in work. Yeah, so it went for a spell after Pakenham?
It did. Because it nearly drowned there. And it'll be racing probably in within a month. But you'll be interested in this, Donald, talking about racehorses. Someone was on the telly last night, totally supportive of you. Oh, yeah. It was a bloke called Bryce Stanaway, a trainer. And he is clearly of your view about the horses race too early and are punished too much, and that's why they can't.
Bryce happens to get horses that have been tried by other people, yes. And he runs them.
And they still run at 10.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. But I think Bryce is different. Yeah, Bryce is
He's patient.
Well, I don't know, but he can pick up the
you
cheap
don't know.
Ones. He cannot afford to buy the dear ones that are yep. young, but he can pick up the older ones.
Okay.
And
okay, well, look, we've... chatted about, I'm not sure if we've chatted about anything that interesting, but we've been interested in it, Mick.
Have we?
I've been interested in it. We found out that a man who is deaf is suing Pornhub because of no subtitle. What is, incidentally, what's the most, I've asked you this before, what's the most sensitive part of your body when you're masturbating? No, it's a clinical question.
It's a clinical question.
What is the most sensitive part of your body when you're masturbating?
I suppose it could be your brain.
No, it'd be your ears.
Your ears?
Yes, because you want to listen to see if someone's coming into the room.
Well, how do you know?
Well, but that's just what they say. It's like saying I never read health books. I hate to die from a misprint. Come on, Mick.
Okay.
We're winding this up now.
This is from Barney McCusker. I want
to... Well, Barney McCusker, I've been dying to do this.
Now, you, this is serious.
I'm serious, man.
When I was shut up before about what happened on the road trip yesterday. The book, are you... I know Jeff Slattery spoke to you about a book about your life.
Yes, him and about 550 other people.
I think at one point in the not too distant past... You are open to the idea, but now I get the impression that you're not.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why did I say I wouldn't?
Because you said that.
Why did I say I wouldn't be doing
well,
that?
Well, I think your view was that you don't want to unnecessarily damage friendships.
Yes.
Or relationships that you've had.
Yes.
There's not a commercial imperative for you because you've got plenty of cash.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm loaded.
Yeah.
Dribbling with it.
I mean, unlike you, I would think it would be a bestseller. I reckon it would sell 50 to 80,000 copies, but I don't think you'll do it.
Why have you got to pour the bucket on somebody, John? Why are you worried about that?
So if someone says, what do you think of Don Scott?
Yeah.
If I give us a snapshot of him, I could say, what an extraordinarily affable and intelligent man who is just a bon vivant who goes around the country just spreading sunshine and lollipops to everyone he comes in contact with. Or I could tell him the real Don Scott. And you would say, hey, listen, I read that thing you said about me in the book. Why do you get off saying those fucking things about me? And I'd say, and that's where it starts, Don. Yeah. And there's the end of a wonderful relationship because I happen to be honest. About how austere and clinical and downright dogmatic and pig-headed you are.
So you don't think you need to... I'm not saying you do, but you don't think you need to leave a legacy of sorts or that your story is...
Leave a legacy.
Serious question.
Yeah, when I asked you about writing your book, you said, no one would want to read it.
No, but but that's not false modesty. I mean, I'm just being a journo, that's all. But you've been a
Mick,
footballer.
You've got a room named after you at the AFL.
Why have you got it? You've done enough things which are very, very interesting, and you don't have to pour a bucket. And other people have written autobiographies.
It's not pour a bucket.
No, it's be honest, Don. That's the issue, yeah.
Yes, but other people have... had biographies written about them, but they haven't brought in their acquaintances.
They're autobiographies, Don.
The more dirt's in it.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
That's sex, drugs, reality. Rock and roll, Don. That's how it works. And autobiographies are probably the best books to be written about people, the ones that are not
Because you write them yourself.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do. Auto is yours. A biography is a story about you. An autobiography is one that you pen.
Okay, well, someone who writes your biography, I thought that was called an autobiography.
No, it's your own. First person.
I will take that on advisement, Mick.
You're not prepared to concede yet?
I said I'll take that on advisement.
Okay.
Yeah. So any final thoughts, Don? Just give us. I know we're not on the eve of the Australian Open because that started yesterday. Who do you think will end up winning the Australian Open? Who cares, to be honest?
Yeah.
Well, I think Djokovic will win it.
I'm interested in asking the guest who hasn't turned up yet what he thinks. I reckon Djokovic gets unders in terms of what his achievements have been, because it seems to me that people always talk about Federer and Nadal.
I'll tell you what drives me mad about Djokovic. He bounces the ball 24 times before he serves. 24.
What about Nadal pulls his undies out of his pants between every point?
But
out of his pants, out of his bum.
Yep. He's got wedgie, Don.
Yeah.
And he pulls
his shirt up, wipes his brow.
It's amazing what annoys some people. I've never seen Djokovic bounce the ball.
He does.
Well, it doesn't annoy me.
Oh.
Because I've never... And what did you say, Nadal?
You turn it off.
He does his underwear.
Yes. You must know that. That's an idiosyncrasy of his. You must know that, Donald. You never notice Djokovic bounce the ball.
No.
And, or have you heard of Sharapova screaming? Have you heard of that?
I've listened to her.
Mm. Yeah, well, there you are. So he bounces the ball
times. Did she make the draw, Sharapova?
Yes, she got a wild card.
Did she?
Yes. Has she played yet, Mick, seeing as you're up with all the results?
I didn't say, was that with all the results?
Yes, you did. You said, it started yesterday. We're not on the eve of it.
I'm sorry, but I didn't realise that was a revelation.
She's got a wild card. What about your friend, Garov?
Yeah, no, she's injured. Dasha? She's injured. Sam Stosur, first round exit.
Anyhow.
Sad, isn't it? You know, she was a US Open champion.
I did.
And I think a French Open finalist a couple of times.
Yeah, I did. No, she's gone off the boil.
Why is it
Mick?
Sad, Mick?
Well, I mean, I think she's the one. You know, sometimes we say people like of your ilk in football, you two, that you don't like to see the champions
and
too long.
And I think she got a lot out of her body. She really did prepare herself physically.
Yeah, she's still doing that.
And the Williams...
And she does it very well. And I think she's got as much out of herself as what
And the Williams girl, Donald, is trying to beat the court girl's Grand Slam record of 20...
The court girl. She's 80.
I watched Margaret Court interviewed on TV with Rod Laver the other week on the ABC. A very impressive lady. I haven't heard her interviewed before.
Do you agree with her sentiments about the LGBTQ?
Yes, they're her beliefs, and I'll go along and back her in. But she is a very strong woman, and she took the tennis authorities on when she was 17, travelling the world. In fact, she travelled the world by herself.
So
practised by herself, but the men took her under her...
Went around with Harry Hopman.
Will you be quiet, please? Oh. And the men helped her get to where she was because she was practicing with the men, wasn't practicing with the women because she was ostracised from the women's side of Australia's tennis.
And I'm in her corner, generally speaking. Wait a sec. Stop shaking your head, will you?
that wasn't me shaking it.
No. Sorry.
It's the man we
Yvonne Cawley was on this morning, and she articulated the issue from my point of view better
Cawley
than
or Court?
Coolagong.
Cawley's anyway. So she said,
articulated what
about how the stature of Margaret Court as a tennis player, and she said, I don't necessarily agree with all her views, but she's a great champion of this game.
Unbelievable! Yeah. I think what she's done.
I think they've run into each other. The two issues. I think we should
remember the
Court
issue,
as the great player she was.
All right, now Don, if I ever just have a chat. One thing I wanted to say. So this is the dilemma the centre court, the Rod Laver Arena is. So it holds, I think, about 12,000 people. They've had to block off a section of it now because there's a lot of people from Melton coming in and they just will not physically fit into the stands. So the capacity with the Melton people coming in by bus and tram and train.
So they've got to pay twice the price.
No, they've had to enlarge the seats. So instead of the capacity being 12,000, I think it's about 7,000 now because a lot of Melton people are coming in.
So are you allowed to be a fattest?
A fattest. Well, I'm not a fattest.
Well, sexist, racist.
And they've had to get new carsies in, the crappers. They can't fit their asses on the old crapper. The whole thing has been turned upside down because Melton people are coming into the tennis.
Did you see this?
They're coming in cattle trucks. Low loaders.
Freight trains.
The
apparently you can show your home movies on some of their underpants. Go on, what?
The toilets at the tennis centre, have they... something's happened to the...
He mentioned that weeks ago, didn't he?
What's that's
another thing you got right. Yeah.
No, gender-neutral ones. Just go into any toilet that you feel comfortable with.
Well, there's something... that came under the heading of female urinals.
Yeah, that's right. You got to squat over a urinal and just aim it into a thing like a man does. No, that's true. Well, we're not making that up. Yeah, that's true.
I'm amazed where he gets all this stuff from.
He reads the paper. He's a very, very learned Jeb. Yeah,
dribbling pedophiles going into the and watching women squat over things and blokes watching you do it. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's absolutely... Right, we're signing off now. What do we sign off with, Don?
Oh, Daddy Cool.
Yep.
What about
what?
Jimmy?
Right, do you want me to sing that? No. Sunday when you're not so pretty.
Tony Barber.
I'm open around. Streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.
And we're up on
I'm
Facebook,
just
so
crazy
you're joining
about
the competition
you, babe.
Here for dinner or lunch with Don, Mick, and me.
I spoke to your mom.